to stand up and say, this is what I once said. And thank God for men who stand up and preach the word. The Bible says that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Ye have not obeyed my voice. And so there they are. They find themselves in this place. They're in their disobedience. God has heard their cry. He has sent a man among them to preach what the Lord has said and to tell them about their sin. But God has more than that for the nation of Israel because, well, he's a God of mercy and he's a God of grace and he's a kind God. And so he raises up a deliverer in Gideon. Let's pray and then we'll get into Gideon's life here this evening. Lord, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, I pray that you would do the work this evening. Lord, as we just look at some verses and a few points here about Gideon, things that we can apply to our lives, things that we can spiritually make application and see you in all of it. Lord, I pray that you would use us as servants. Lord, that you would use us for your will and you'd accomplish what you'd want to have accomplished. Lord, I ask that you would increase and I would decrease in the sight of your people, but we would know that you have spoken to us. We know that through your word, and through your Holy Ghost that you've given us something this evening and we could leave here being thankful with praise on our lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Judges chapter 6, we find down here in verse number 12, the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. This is Gideon, who was from verse 11, was threshing wheat by the wine press to hide from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, up to this point, I mean, we just kind of meet Gideon in verse number 11. I know we didn't read it, but here he is. There is oppression. They have come in, the Midianites, the Amalekites, the children of the east. They have come in. They've destroyed all the increase of the earth. Anything that happens, any kind of crops that they get, they come in and they take those. They've messed with the livestock. So here we find Gideon threshing a little bit of wheat that they've been able to grow in secret, and he's threshing it in the wine press, which is not where you thresh wheat. The wine press is where you press wine, right? It's where you put the grapes in and you stomp them out or you press them out. But he's here hiding, and he's threshing this wheat to have some type of substance. And the Lord shows up, the angel of the Lord, the Bible says, shows up and says, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, up to this point, we don't really understand that term. Gideon is a mighty man of valor. And we're going to read on here in a little bit. And I'm not sure that we really see this man of valor like I imagine. Except for the fact, I'd like to say this. Number one, God sees who we can be with him. That's who God sees. He says, hey, Gideon. He says, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon didn't feel like a man of valor. Say, how do you know? Well, we'll read what he says. He didn't feel like one. He didn't think that he was one. He didn't know how all this fit into play. Because he's in secret threshing this wheat in the wine press. The oppression is against them of the enemy, and here he is. But God sees who we can be with him. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God doesn't wait until we've arrived to where God can speak to us and direct us and lead us and guide us in his will. I'm glad we don't have to reach some type of pinnacle Bible knowledge or righteousness or whatever it is. I'm glad we don't have to reach. I'm glad the Lord comes to where we are and says, hey, I got something for you to do. I got something for you to do. He says, you mighty man of valor. And in verse number 13, here's Gideon. We'll look at it. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. The angel says, the Lord's with thee. And he says, well, if the Lord's with us, then what's going on? Why are we in this oppression? Where's the miracles that I've heard about? Gideon said, I've heard all these stories from dad and grandpa and great-grandpa. I've heard all these stories about how God did all these things and brought our people out of Egypt and did all the miracles in the wilderness and brought us over. Where are those miracles? Where are all these things? Gideon had heard about the Lord, but he hadn't seen the Lord's hand on his life. And because he hadn't seen the Lord's hand on his life, he had some right to question. I don't understand what's going on here and why this is being said. In verse number 14, the Bible says, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And here's Gideon. He says unto them, oh my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? He says, behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. He says, how am I going to do this? He says, Lord, first thing he does, he looks at his money. He says, Lord, I don't have any money. I don't have any means. I don't have any material things that I'm going to get anything done for you. The second thing he looks at is his family. He says, well, we're from Manasseh. What's coming from our family? I've heard about prophecies about Judah. We've heard good things about that. We've heard some things about Benjamin. There's been some prophecies, but from us, what? Look at my family history. There's nothing in my family history that says I'm going to be able to do anything for you. He looks at his weakness and he says, I'm the least in my father's house. You could have went to anybody else in my father's house and found somebody more suitable, but you've come and found me. And he doesn't understand. Why? Well, because he hasn't learned to look to the Lord yet. You know what a scary thing it is when the Lord comes and asks you to do anything? Normally what we do is say, I can't do that. Look who I am. I'm a nobody. I don't know anything. I don't have any pedigree. I don't have any education. I don't know as much as somebody else. And often the Lord's not really looking for, he's not looking for, you know, the star quarterback on the varsity team. He's looking for somebody that he can use. He's looking for somebody that will eventually get their eyes off themselves and look to the Lord and say, well, if anything's going to happen, it's going to have to be through you. And Gideon's just not quite there yet. He's not quite there. Up come the excuses. And by the time we get to verse 16, the Lord says unto him, surely I will be with thee. He already told it to him, but he's going to tell him again. And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. It's such an interesting phrase. Show me a sign that you're talking to me. Okay, I'm right here and I'm talking to you. Right? I know he wanted more, but Gideon proves here that he is a man of little faith. The Lord has told him now twice, I'm going to be with you, and you're going to do this thing, and I'm going to take care of it. And he says, can you give me a sign? What I'm going to do is I'm going to go off here and I'm going to make you a meal, if you wouldn't mind. I'm going to go off and do this other stuff here and come back and give you this meal. And if you'll accept this thing and be here, if you'll just wait on me. And you know what the Lord does? He's patient. The Lord's patient. And I'm glad he's patient. I'm glad he's patient. I'm going to tell myself a little bit here, but I don't always do exactly what the Lord wants me to do the first time. Sometimes I, too, am of little faith. Sometimes I, too, say, oh, you must have got the numbers mixed up here. You must have been talking to somebody else because you got a hold of me, Lord, and what you asked of me is not possible from me. You must be looking for somebody else. And the Lord is patient, and he waits. And that's exactly what Gideon does. He goes in verse 19, and he makes ready a kid and the unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour, and the flesh he put in a basket, and he put on the broth on the pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. I mean, this took some time. This took some time, and he presents it to the Lord. And what does the Lord do? The Lord accepts it. He gives him a sign. He says, put it on this rock, and he touches it, and it's absorbed by the fire. And Gideon now thinks, oh, my goodness, now I'm looking at the Lord here, and now he's even more nervous, and he's not sure what to do. The Lord just continues to try to speak to him. And he says in verse 25, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and go up to the top of the rock and order this place. And so in verse 27, Gideon does it. Gideon has some courage. The Lord's been faithful. The Lord has shown him some things. And he has some courage, but not a lot of courage. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, but that he did it by night. He said, okay, I'll do something. I'll do this what you want, Lord, but I'm going to go and do it when no one's around and no one can see me. And I have these other 10 men with me. And I feel pretty confident and pretty safe doing this thing, because by morning light, I'm going to be out of there. And so what does he do? He still has some fear. He still has some fear. And he goes and he does what the Lord wants him to do. This first little thing that God tells him to do, tear down these idols of Baal and offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. He does it, but he's still fearful. And he still is lacking in faith. But he does it. Praise the Lord for stepping out and doing what the Lord wants you to do. You know, the Lord tells you to pass out tracts. And the first time you come face to face with somebody to pass out a tract, man, you do not want to do that. It is just not what you had in mind of just saying, hey, let me bother you walking in your own peacefulness, and let me give you this piece of paper about the Lord. Say, what can you do? Well, you can pass out tracts in secret. You can leave them places. No one saw me, right? But you can still do something that the Lord asks you to do until your faith grows a little bit. See, we find out in verses 28 through 32, we find out these men of the city, they come to Gideon's father and they say, hey, your boy is torn down the altars, and he's torn down Baal and everything else. And we find out his father is not that fearful. His father kind of stands up here. Where can we find it? In verse number 30, we'll read it. The men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him. Now, Joash wasn't living right. He had Baal on his property. Right? I mean, he wasn't like, this wasn't him being righteous. This is just him being bold. There's a lot of lost men that are bold. There's a lot of Christians that aren't doing right that are bold. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down this altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against himself, because he hath thrown down his altar. Joash stands up and he says, hey, Baal can't stand up for himself. Someone that wants to stand up for Baal and do this, have them be put to death this morning. But here's Gideon, and even more so, he's saying, I'm the least of my household. Why? He's looking at a dad that's bold. He's looking at a dad that stands up and says, get out of here. Get off my property. You want to stand up for Baal? You want to do something for Baal? Do it on your own time. And so here is Gideon, and he knows, man, I'm just not like my dad. I'm not like him. And here's the good news. We don't have to be like somebody else to be used of God. We don't have to be. We don't have to be just like so-and-so. We don't have to be just as bold as so-and-so. We don't have to know as much as somebody else. We don't have to be just like this other person that seems to have all the qualities that God could use. God's not looking for all the qualities. He's Sometimes he has all the qualities. What quality do I have that God needs? You're right, zero. Zero qualities do I have that God needs in me. Why? Because if something's going to get done, he's going to do the work. He's going to do the work. So here's Gideon. And what's he like? Not like his dad. He does not appear to be like his dad. But we don't have to be like somebody else. I don't have to be like my dad. I don't have to be like my favorite preacher. I don't have to be like anybody that I went to school under. I don't have to be like any of my friends. The Lord says, hey, will you do something? Then get out there and we'll see what happens. And why? Because that's what the Lord does. We don't have to be somebody else. And there's a little bit of courage that comes into Gideon. A little bit of courage from the Lord. In verse 33, there's the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east, and they're all gathered together. In verse 34, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet. Blowing the trumpet means he's going to try to gather some people together to fight against. That's what the trumpet sound is. When he blows a trumpet, he's gathering together. And the Spirit of God gives him a little bit of gumption, and he sends messengers throughout in verse 35, and he gathers some men unto him. And in verse 36, he goes back to the Lord, and he says, all right, Lord, I really need to know that you've asked me to do this and that you want me to do it. And we call it the putting out the fleece, right? So Gideon puts out the fleece, and one time he says, I want the fleece dry and the ground wet. And the next time he said, or the first time I think he says, I want the fleece wet and the ground dry. And understanding he's not a man strong in faith. He's not a man that looks around and says, absolutely, Lord, that's what you told me to do. I'm going to go and do that. We'll figure it out along the way, Lord. You just tell me what to do and I'm on it. He's not that. He isn't that. But God's patient. How do you know God's patient? Well, because the ground's wet and then the fleece is wet. Or the fleece is wet and the ground's wet. I'm trying to save some time by reading all the scripture, all right? And the Lord's patient. And he says, okay, I'll give you a little bit more. Give you a little bit more strength. I'll strengthen your faith a little bit more. I'll give you a little bit more substance in this. I've asked you to do it, and I know who I've called. I know who I've asked, and he gives him a little bit more strength and a little bit more strength to do what he's asked him to do. And by the time we get to chapter 7, and now Gideon's ready to go, and Gideon says, I have some strength now to serve the Lord, and he gets these men together, and he starts out with 32,000 men, and the Lord says, all right, here's what we're going to do. This is too many. And Gideon's like, too many. Have you looked over there? They're like grasshoppers on the ground. And there's so many of them, of the enemy. And the Lord says, yeah, there's too many. There's too many here with you. Send some of them home. And he says, okay, send some of them home. He says, we still have too many. We're going to do this thing with the water. You remember the story? Thing with the water and those that, you know, some of them were thirsty and some of them were thinking of self only. And they just got down and put their face in the water and started drinking up. And he says, that we don't want those. We want those that are paying attention. They're at least trying to act like soldiers. And they're putting their hand in the water and lapping it up like a dog. Why? Because they're looking around for the enemy still. And he says, those are the ones we want. And what happens? Well, Gideon comes down to 300 men. 300 men. Say, he finally got the faith. The Lord gave him enough. He now knows what to do. He's listening. He's looking like a mighty man of valor. He's gathered the men together. He's brought them all there. And man, he's ready to fight. He's ready to go to war. And the Lord's shown him, he's got the fleece, you know, probably hanging in his tent. That's the fleece. That's the one right there. And he's ready to go. Look at that little demon flying around. Get out of here, demon. He's a demon because like half of you are going to be trailing this guy for the next 30 minutes. That's why. It's like a camp. We used to have camp and when they had an outdoor kind of pavilion at a youth camp. And at night, you know, the lights are on and all the bugs are coming in and everyone's just like, no one's paying attention at all to the preacher. They're just looking at all the bugs. Where was I before I was interrupted by the demon? I know where I was. He's ready to fight now. He's got his men together. He's ready to go. And you know what the Lord does? The Lord puts him in a seemingly impossible situation. He brings him down to 300 people. And you know what's going to happen sometimes? You're going to be like, I'm ready to go now, Lord. He's like, yeah, you're feeling pretty good about yourself, aren't you, right about now? You went from, I can't do anything, to, yeah, I can do this. And the Lord says, we're going to go from 32,000, we're going to bring them down to 300. And then I'm going to send you against the army. He puts them in an impossible situation. Why? Because the Lord wanted to make sure that he was going to be getting the glory. And that's what God is really concerned about, his glory. He says in Isaiah, I will not give it to another. And that doesn't mean if it's a false god or if it's a Christian trying to steal it all. God's not interested in someone else stealing his glory. He says, it's my glory. And he teaches us enough about ourselves. That's why I appreciated this morning's message. Why? Because we had a visiting preacher tell you how sorry you were. It wasn't just me telling you how sorry you are. It was another preacher standing up and saying, man, this flesh that we carry is no good. It's no good. The Lord, he's good. But us, we're no good. And we need to be reminded of that often. Because we start getting like Gideon here. We start feeling pretty good about some things. And the Lord's like, you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to put you in a seemingly impossible situation. Now, we know what the New Testament says. The New Testament says with God, all things are possible. Or with man, it seems impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And that's what he does. He puts him in an impossible circumstance. And all of a sudden, he gets down to 300 men, and the Lord knows Gideon. Gideon knows himself. And Gideon has to be looking around and going, we can't do this thing. That fear was coming back up in him. Looking at 32,000, that's a pretty good crowd, right? Especially when they're all on your side. But now you're looking at 300, like you can see the beginning and the end of the ranks. Like you don't have to stand up on anything. You're just like, oh, there they are. Yeah, that fear was creeping back in. And the Lord says, hey, here's what I want you to do. Go down here in verse number 9. It came to pass that same night the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go with Phurah thy servant down to the host. And guess what happens? He goes down with Phurah his servant in verse number 11. Yeah, he was fearful. He says, "If you go down to the host and check him out. But if you're afraid, take your buddy." And he says, hey, buddy, let's go. We're going down to see the host. And that's what they do. They go down to see the host. Why? Because he was afraid. He was afraid. He was afraid. He was of little faith. And these men, Gideon's hiding out, and these men start talking. And one says, man, I had this dream. And the other guy interprets a dream. And he says, man, have you heard of this guy Gideon? He's a mighty man of valor. This guy right here in verse 14, his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. You know what happened? This is, right? So we had the food that he makes. Can you wait here till I make this food? He makes the food. All right, then he says, all right, we got the fleece, and then we're going to do another fleece. And what happens now? Go down and listen to what they're saying about you. That's the fourth time now. You know what God does? God gives him exactly what he needs. He gives him exactly what he needs. Gideon goes down that fourth time. Listen, he gives us exactly what we need to be able to serve him. He doesn't shortchange us on anything. He gives us the Holy Ghost that dwells inside of us. He gives us his word in the scriptures. He gives us the preaching of his word through men that stand and preach the Bible to us. He gives us one another. He gives us some friends that are also fighting the good fight of faith. If you're still afraid, take a buddy and go. That's why the Bible says they're going out knocking on doors. They're going two by two. The Lord sends them out two by two to go out and preach the gospel. Why? Hey, if you get afraid, maybe your buddy won't be afraid. And so what do? We have one another that we can go and fight the good fight of faith together. God gives us what we need. He strengthens us when our faith is weak. He knows what we need. And then you know what God does? We see it in verse 15 down through verse 18. We'll start in 15. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian." I mean, he gets up there and he just rallies the troops together and he stands up, "Let's go!" Like he'd always been ready to go. No, he hasn't been ready to go. It's been not very long ago that he's hiding out saying, "Hey, man, I got a whole bunch of excuses. And I don't have any faith. And I'm afraid. I'm fearful." The Lord gives him the confidence that he needs. And he steps out by faith and he gets the men. He divides the 300 men into three companies, verse 16. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he tells them what to do. "Follow me. We're going to go down there. We're going to blow the trumpets. We're going to yell the sword of the Lord at Gideon. We're going to break those pots. And the torches are going to shine out in the middle of the night when they're sleeping. We're going to add some chaos to them. And we're going to see what God does." You know what the Lord does? The Lord gives them wisdom and he gives them knowledge and he gives them strength to do what he was supposed to do. That came from the Lord. That idea came from the Lord. I mean, he's probably thinking, "I'm going to go down there and let's see. I don't know how many there are. There's 300 of us. And man, I have a sword. I'm going to have to be killing a bunch of guys all night long in order to make a dent in this army." That's probably what he was thinking. Wouldn't that be what you're thinking? You have swords. You're going to go defeat that army. Okay. The Lord says, "No, I got a better plan. You're going to watch me do some work now. So what you're going to do is I'm going to take your sword and take a pot and take a torch and the story." And what happens? God does it. God does the work. Verse 19, "So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hand, and the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" And what happens? God does this work. God does this thing. The enemy wakes up and they're like, "Man, they're surrounding us." And God, through his work, they start to destroy themselves and they start to kill each other. And what happens? The Lord does it. Go and do and accomplish. And what does he do? He goes and he does what God told him to do. And what's accomplished? God gets glory. God gets glory. That's what's accomplished. That's what happens. And by the time you get over to chapter number 8, turn over there, please. By the time you get to chapter number 8, in verse 22, the Bible says, "Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, 'Rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian.'" Well, now here's the thing. Gideon knows himself. God knows Gideon better than he admits that he knows him. And here's all the men. They haven't been there at the time of the fleece. They only had one buddy that went down there and heard what they said. And he came back and he rallies the troops and he said, "Let's go fight for the Lord." And he's the one that says, "Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take this and we're going to do this thing and we're going to go down there and see the hand of God." And the men come around Gideon and say, Gideon, he's our man. Right? We like you a lot. You're strong and you're powerful and, man, you're courageous and you don't have any fear and you came up with this great battle plan and, man, we want you to rule over us." And Gideon says this in verse 23, "I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." Well, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. Why? Because if we yield ourselves, and if we humble ourselves, and we seek to do what God wants us to do, he will use us. And the biggest adversary to the Lord using us will be us. And if we decide and start figuring things out and start thinking that we're the ones that are getting things accomplished, the Lord will say, okay, we can be done with that. I'll find somebody else that will give me glory. Because that's what happens when the Lord does something with you or with me. What do? Give God the glory. Give God the glory if anything's accomplished for him. Now Gideon still messes up and he gets some things, whether well-intended or not, but he starts getting gold and putting stuff together and causes Israel to kind of to worship something that was probably intended for good, but Israel's just into worshiping everything but God. And turns it over, and they get caught up in this other thing. But what did God do? God used Gideon as a judge. And he used him, and when I look in the Bible, I don't see this great, mighty man of valor. I see someone that was fearful. I see someone that lacked faith. I see someone that the Lord had to just keep reassuring him and reassuring him and reassuring him and reassuring him, we're going to get something done. And who needed the wisdom from God and the knowledge from God and the power of God to accomplish what he asked him to do in the first place. He needed all of that. He wasn't like his own family. He didn't have any great heritage to come from. But what did God do? God used him. God used him. Now, God might not ask you to get 300 people together and go, you know, break some pottery and blow some trumpets. The Lord might not ask that of you. But he has something for you to do. And you know what all of us are? We're Gideons. I don't know anyone in here that's fearless. If you're fearless, you're probably not that smart. If you're not afraid of anything, then you don't know what to be afraid of. But the Lord can use any of us. How do we know? Because the Lord sees you for who you can be in him. That's what the Lord does. He looks at us and says, well, I know what they can be. They can do this thing for me, with me. If they surrender themselves, they can do this thing. And I'll use them to accomplish this in my will. You don't have to be somebody else to be used of the Lord. You don't have to worry about what your name is or anyone else in your family has done anything or how much money you have in the bank or how much Bible you think you know. The Lord can use you. And he can grow you and make you into what he's asked you to do. The Lord might put you in an impossible situation. Why? Just so we're sure that the Lord is the one doing all this. Oh, well, Lord, I thought this doesn't look good at all now. Lord, it seems like you've made it harder now than I thought. My idea was we take all those 32,000 for starters, all right? And let me just throw you some of my ideas out there, Lord. If you could just bless some of these things that make sense to me, then it wouldn't be walking by faith. And I want you to do, I'm going to put you in this impossible situation, and then you're going to watch me do the work. And you know what God does? He gives you what you need to do the work. That's what he does. He said, well, you don't understand what I need to pay the bills, and that's just, no, it's not. There's a lot of words in a small amount of letters. Apply all your need. Why? Oh, he's rich. He's rich in everything that you need. To do what? Accomplish his will. Accomplish his will for you. He knows what you need. He'll take care of you. He'll give you exactly what you need. Listen, I might need more than you need. The Lord knows that. You know what he has for me? Exactly what I need. You might need more than somebody else. You know what he knows? He knows what you need. So, well, Lord, I have a very, very specific set of needs because I have a very specific low set of qualities. The Lord says, oh, I have those needs for you too. I have those for you. He says, I can provide that for you. And you know what you and I need to do is we need to give him glory. We need to give him glory. If the Lord accomplishes anything, if you see it or you don't see it, if you're able to do something for the Lord, even if it's just starting out and you're a young Christian or you don't have everything figured out in life yet, like any of us do, right? But if you don't have it all figured out, You know what you do? You take a step by step by step. And if the Lord gives you that courage and gives you the direction, you take that step and you follow the Lord and you do what he wants you to do. You know what you do? You give him the glory for it. You give him the glory for it. It's the best bet. It's the safest bet. Say, what happened? Well, I don't know, but this happened. Well, praise God for it. Well, I did this thing and you wouldn't believe how that worked out. Well, you better give God the glory for it. Yeah, and just turn it to him and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing that. And we can look at Gideon, and what you find? We find an imperfect servant. We find someone that might have some characteristics that you have. Some of you might feel like you're better off than him. Some of you might not be as well off as him. But you know what we can do? We can be used of the Lord if we turn it over to him and take small steps of faith along the way and allow him to encourage us. And we can look back someday and say, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. Through what? Just some needy servants. That's it. Just through some needy people that God can use to serve him. Let's bow our heads for prayer this evening.